This is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Mike Kadiri. Thanks for joining us. This Saturday afternoon, there's going to be a debate on U.S. immigration policy at Florida Southwestern State College's Charlotte County campus. It will focus on topics like DACA and TPS, asylum and refugee seeker status, and the detention and separation of families. What makes this debate about such contentious issues different is it's being conducted by students from Port Charlotte High School's award-winning Model United Nations team. Participating students have been assigned a side, either left-leaning politics or right-leaning politics, and have been researching those perspectives and trying to find the facts that support them. The event, which is open to the public, is co-sponsored by the Justice Committee of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Charlotte County and the Hispanic American Citizens Council of Charlotte County. We're joined today by the two team captains. Anna Maria Belovich is a senior at Port Charlotte High School. She'll be attending Columbia University, majoring in political science. Anna Maria, welcome to the show.
Hi.
And Carson McNamara is also a senior at Port Charlotte High and will be attending Brown University studying anthropology. Carson, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And Betty Barriga is chair of the Immigration Justice Committee at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Port Charlotte, which is co-sponsoring the upcoming debate. Betty, thanks for coming down.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
To engage with us and your fellow listeners about this conversation or any of our shows, find us on social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So Anna Maria, we're going to start with you. You're the president of the Port Charlotte High School Model UN?
Yes, I am.
How long have you been involved with that?
I've been involved since freshman year. So right now, I'm coming up on my senior year, meaning I've been to probably around 15 conferences within my four years of experience in Model UN.
For a listener who has no idea what it is, describe it, how it works, and, you know, is it like a sports team where you have local competitions and it scales up, or just talk about it some.
Yeah, of course. So Model United Nations is kind of exactly what the title says. It's a simulation of what the real United Nations does. So in the research process, we're assigned specific countries and a specific topic to talk about that the real UN would actually talk about. So, for example, at my last conference, I was assigned the role of Syria debating the use of child soldiers. So our delegates are expected to do in-depth research on the topic and research regarding their domestic and foreign policy regarding that same topic, and then everyone's expected to come up with feasible solutions that would actually address that international issue within these different conferences. And so another part of it is that we get to travel sometimes internationally and definitely all over the country. Just in my 4 years, I've been to over 5 states doing these national competitions where we compete amongst one of the most funded or the best funded and the most competitive teams within the nation and around the world.
And you guys, Port Charlotte High School has a pretty good reputation for Model UN. Is that correct?
Yeah. So just within the past 2 years, we've won about 4 national championships. With every conference, it differs between whether we get a first place within our category or an overall first place. For example, last year we went to William & Mary College and won the Michael C. Kuhn Award for Representation and Diplomacy. So awards like that are based on your whole team's performance. And at that specific conference, we had a 100% rate of placing, which means that all of our delegates got at least some award. Apart from that, just this year, we went to the University of Virginia and won Best Small Delegation there. So.
And just to be clear, so each student gets a country. It's not like the whole team gets a country and you collaborate. Each student gets a country?
Well, it differs from conference to conference. So, for example, at the University of Virginia, we were assigned different countries. So not all of us were on the same delegation, per se. But most of the times when we do go to competitions, our whole school is assigned a country. For example, when we went to Georgia Tech, we were China, and now we're going to the Swiffelman competition actually here at FGCU, and we're going to be representing China. So it really just depends on each conference.
We're the USA.
We're the USA. Sorry.
Is there a chance to wind up at the actual United Nations in this thing, or is this not, it doesn't work that way?
Well, I think there's definitely conferences that are held at the real United Nations headquarters. It just depends on if your school chooses to go to that conference. But I definitely do think in terms of on a person-by-person basis, Model United Nations has definitely equipped me with the skills that have led me to want a career with the United Nations. So I think in that sense, yes.
Carson, how long have you been involved?
I've also been involved since my freshman year. And I think I've went to two less than Anna, so I've probably been to around 13 conferences since I started. So, yeah.
What made you decide to get involved? Did you know about it before you were in high school?
It's actually a pretty funny story with me in specific, because I've known about the Model UN team at our high school since I was in elementary school.
Huh.
Yeah, and my whole family would always tell me, like, oh, that's what you're going to do. You're going to be on that team, because the team for so long has been so well-respected and top-ranked in the nation. So my mom knew I was going to do it since a very young age. And I did Model UN in elementary school. So as a fifth grader, the team at the high school actually put on programs called FACTS for each of the elementary schools, and we would debate against the other schools, and I did it at my time at Neil Armstrong. So I did have experience at a young age, but then I did not do it in middle school, but freshman year came along and I was ready to do it again.
Anna Maria, how did you get, or why did you get involved?
So it was actually through one of the teachers at the high school. It was a Spanish teacher that my mom was friends with, and I was friends with the Spanish teacher's daughter, who actually is on the Model UN team now. So it was really from her being at the high school and hearing about the MUN team, and then getting me introduced, and kind of like her talking to my mom, and then them being best friends, and then they got me into it. So
understood. So, Betty Barriga, let's bring you in here. You're chair of the Immigration Justice Committee at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Port Charlotte. They're co-sponsoring this Saturday's debate. How did this debate come about? Let's start with the origin story.
The origin, because it's a good place to start. There's a way to have a disagreement about certain subjects, and immigration is a very hot topic now. Mm-hmm. It's very divisive, and there's a lot of misinformation being thrown around. So it's really scary, especially for myself, who I am an immigrant. So it's very scary to hear what's being said out there, especially by our public officials. And we decided to do a debate, and because this all has to be based on facts.
Mm-hmm.
And we approached the Model UN, and we were hesitant that they might turn us down because they have a very tight schedule. And they did. They decided to take us on. So I'm really grateful that they're doing this for us.
Was the idea to have a debate that students would conduct that turned out to be immigration policy, or was the idea to have an immigration policy debate and you thought, wouldn't it be interesting if we had students?
Exactly. Immigration was going to be the topic. And we figure a debate team, the way they used to have back in Connecticut where I lived and was raised. I thought it would be a great way to go.
Because everybody I've mentioned this to, they're like, ooh, immigration debate. And then I'm like, it's going to be high school students. Like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. So how does this work? Do you want to describe how the debate process works?
Well, actually, let me have Anna Maria, because she's dividing her team.
So there's a little bit of a difference in terms of how Saturday's immigration debate is going to work in terms of what we do at national conferences.
I figure, yeah.
Like we stated before, Model United Nations conferences are based on like the parliamentary procedures of the United Nations. So we have moderated caucuses where you're given a certain speaking time, and then there's different elements to that debate. But we thought it would be a lot easier and a lot easier for an audience to follow if we did the immigration debate in a more simple way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially how it's going to work is each team is going to have time for an opening statement, which will be conducted by the team captains, which just happens to be Carson and I. So then after that, each topic that we've already figured out is going to be allotted exactly 30 minutes for discussion. But within those 30 minutes, we're going to have somebody moderating the time that everybody gets to speak. So I think we agreed on 45 seconds for each speech. So essentially it would just be opening speeches, which would take about a minute, and then we would get into each student who wanted to speak afterwards, and that would be a 45-second speaking time.
And so how many students will be on each team?
Three students on each team. There's going to be one side for left-leaning politics and one side for right-leaning politics, and both have three students just so everything's equal, and both will have a team captain as well.
Did you guys get to pick which side you were on? Is that just assigned randomly? How does that all work?
Well, I knew from the start that I was going to be doing the left-leaning side just because I'm the president of the Young Democrats Club. I believe very heavily in democratic politics, so that was the side that I wanted to represent and wanted to do my research from that point of view.
And so then you're on the right-leaning side?
Yeah. I mean, it's also not to say that I'm necessarily... It doesn't necessarily reflect my personal politics.
Well, sure.
Politics.
That's the whole thing with debate. You've got to take a side and you've got to defend it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So that's a big part of even our national competitions is that you're just given – you're randomly assigned a country and you just have to debate that policy. So I thought that it would be like good practice for me to take the other side and then try to come up with research and statistics on that, even though it might not necessarily represent my own personal views.
How do you separate your personal views from your vigorous debate using the facts you can find?
I'm figuring it out, to be honest. I'm trying to, you know, looking at the research, but also knowing my own personal values and morals. It's definitely a fine line, but I think that the more that I gain experience in researching and writing and talking about different issues, whether it be for this immigration debate or any other Model UN competitions, I'm definitely getting better at it in that I've been developing the skills so that I can separate the two. But it's definitely trying at times when you believe so strongly in an issue but then have to write in the opposite view. So,
Betty, the different topics that are going to be covered, is that something that you guys brought to the table? Was that something that –
Yes.
So just talk about what's going to be talked about.
Well, we gave him a choice of five topics, and I think you eliminated two. Which three that you decided to go with?
Yeah, so the first topic is about the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. So in that case, we're going to be talking about the benefits and deficits based on the two sides of the issue. Okay, so then the second topic we decided on was we're trying to figure out the specific wording, but it's going to be essentially about detention centers and family separation policies and things like that. And then do you remember the third question?
That was the third one. The second one is about the asylum policies, whether mm-hmm. or not we should ease or restrict letting asylum seekers come into the nation. And then also on what solution to adopt either way. So should we have amnesty? Should we have stricter regulations? That type of thing.
Hmm. And so TPS is not going to be a part of this? I saw that was initially
that
thrown
is a
out
part
there.
Of the first one.
It's DACA and TPS. If you're just joining the show today, we're getting a bit of a preview of a Model United Nations – well, it's not really a Model United Nations style debate, right?
Yeah. So it's not necessarily a Model United Nations style debate in that – just the style of how it's going to go isn't like that, but we're using all of the delegates from the Model United Nations team and essentially using the same research policies and practices that we do in Model UN.
Understood. If you're just joining the show today, we're getting a bit of a preview of a debate that's coming up this Saturday, the 29th, on U.S. immigration policy. It's at Florida Southwestern State College's Charlotte County campus. Our guests are two of the Port Charlotte High School students who will be participating, Anna Maria Belovich and Carson McNamara, and also Betty Barriga. She's chair of the Immigration Justice Committee at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Port Charlotte, which is co-sponsoring the debate. To add your thoughts, find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter. We're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So how do you prepare for this? What's the preparation process? How rigorous and structured is it based on the Model UN thing?
Yeah, so one of the first things that you have to look into, at least when we're looking at Model UN debates, is your country policy. So in this case, we're looking up the policy of our assignment, whether that be right-leaning or left-leaning politics. Essentially, how I start my research process is looking into those general topics, maybe just looking up immigration policy in the U.S. and getting, you know, millions of Google searches and results, and then going through the articles to kind of get a sense of the general issue at hand. And then I definitely, after that, try to go more specifics, like we talked about before, like reading legislation that was based on DACA and essentially the current politics surrounding DACA. A lot of it is genuinely trying to understand the issue as a whole and then going more specifically into the specific subtopics and the political positions. Something that's a little bit unique about the immigration debate is that for me specifically, just being involved in politics now, as this is an election year, has definitely been more helpful to me looking up YouTube videos about whether it be the Democratic presidential candidate debates or simply looking up tweets online from our president has definitely been helpful in like trying to find specifics about the topic.
How do you sort out between facts and opinions and hyperbole and overstating things and all the stuff that happens in our media landscape in terms of trying to come up with an argument that you can make that you know is based in fact?
Yeah, of course. That's a great question because essentially that's our whole purpose with doing this debate is to, like Betty said, cover up the misinformation that happens so often in our modern politics. And I think that the best way that I've found to do that is figuring out the credibility of the sources I use, because of course, I, like any other student, I don't want to participate in a debate that I'm not readily prepared for. And I don't think that someone that doesn't check their sources or cite the correct, whether it be government studies or independent studies from organizations like Pew Research or credible research institutions that aren't based on political bias or anything like that, is definitely the way that I've found to separate fact from opinion. It's definitely been a lot about figuring out the credibility of some sources.
Hmm. Carson, what about you? How have you been preparing for this? It's coming up here in 4 days, 5 days. Are you ready? And what have you done to prepare?
So I've done a lot of watching different types of documentaries from different sources, like Anna said, and that's been one of the main avenues for my research. But with this debate specifically, where it's different from researching for a Model UN is that you also have to look at just what people say, so just what politicians say. We have to look at what the president says and being able to recognize, okay, these are not fact, but these are the ideologies and the ideas that are being presented and are associated with the left side of politics or the right side of politics. And so finding a way to navigate those arguments, but also bringing facts to support them so we're not just spewing more and more rhetoric.
Hmm. Betty, the audience will be invited to weigh in during this debate, correct?
There'll
be
an audience.
Who's going to be there? You know, do you think that there might be grown-ups that try to put rhetoric into the debate because of how we are in our culture right now? How's that all going to play out,
do you
think?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, but we're trying to control that by asking our audience members to write down questions on an index card, and then we'll have the monitor put the question up for the team to have an open discussion.
Who's the moderator? Moderators?
We only have one, Maria Lara, right? She is the other co-sponsor organization. She is the president of the Hispanic American Citizens Council. So both these organizations are co-sponsoring this immigration debate on Saturday, February 29, from 2 to 5 at Florida Southwestern College on Airport Road, Punta Gorda.
How much did you guys know about U.S. immigration policy prior to starting to ramp up for this debate? It seems like maybe you've paid attention to it because of what you said before.
I've been pretty involved with politics from a very young age. It's just been something that's been of interest to me. But I will definitely say I was not as informed on immigration as I am now. Definitely had some of the background knowledge, the research, and had opinions. But I think it's really important and it's opened my eyes that we shouldn't be forming opinions when we are kind of ignorant to all of the facts that are out there. So after doing research for this debate, even though my opinions kind of lie in the same realms, they've given more strength to what I believe based on the evidence that I've found. So it's been really interesting and eye-opening to be able to actually observe all of the different policies and the ramifications of them.
Was there anything that you thought you knew that you learned was not correct as you researched?
Is it okay if I had time to think? Okay. Give me one second.
Well, then while you're thinking, I'm going to ask you, how much did you know prior to starting with this when it comes to U.S. immigration policy and the issues around it?
To be honest, I think that prior to this year, and I just think that my senior year as a whole, I've definitely, maybe it comes with age, but also I think with our current political climate, it's been a lot more necessary for me to have that knowledge specifically about immigration policy. Most of the things that I knew were based on either rhetoric from people around me or based on the topics that I had already researched within MUN, which was more confined to the refugee crisis and asylum seekers on an international scale. So I think that considering this debate and just the fact that I've been a lot more politically involved this year, I've had a lot, it's made a lot of it more of a difference on my knowledge for immigration policy when it's based in the U.S.
Do you have any answer to the questions she's still thinking about in terms of something that you may have learned through your research that made you go, oh, I thought this meant this or this was this, but maybe it's not exactly that?
Hmm. So I definitely think that learning about programs like Migrant Protection Protocols, TPS, and DACA, I definitely didn't know as much as I should have when it comes to the specifics of legislation and its actual implementation. Just because I've been researching right-leaning politics and things like that, a lot of the knowledge that I've had and that has been heavily concentrated on in the media is how immigration has gone under the Trump administration. But through my research, I've definitely found that there were immigration problems even before that. So that was something that was really eye-opening to me, just to see how immigration policy has evolutionized throughout the decades and not just through this administration.
Right, exactly. There are things happening right now that aren't necessarily new or as new as they might be portrayed. Do you have anything to reflect on by now, Carson?
Yes, I do. I agree with the things Anna said, and I'd also like to add that upon my research, I definitely got a more full scope view of what each party believes in and more in-depth understanding of what each party actually wants, because in the media, they're both characterized in such a broad brushstroke. Republicans are, we don't want illegal immigration, we just want legal immigration. And Democrats are, immigration, everyone is welcome, let's let everyone in. But then upon research, you begin to understand more and more of the actions that have been taking place under Republican presidents or Democratic presidents. And you begin to see, okay, well, maybe policies aren't as black and white as you think. Under Obama's administration, for example, he did a lot of funding for outsourcing Border Patrol, made agreements with Mexico to strengthen Border Patrol at the Mexican-Guatemala border so that the U.S. wouldn't have to do it. And so that's something, okay, we don't really talk about that when we're looking at the Democratic Party, and that's kind of left out in mainstream media. And then when you look at a more Republican approach, the excuse is always that we do want immigration, but we just want it to be legal. But then you look at the policies that Trump is supporting, and he's supporting a merit-based immigration system, which is inherently discriminatory to middle-class and lower-class immigrants. So in itself, that's, again, another thing that's not brought as much into light in the media. It's like Anna said, it's just heavy rhetoric.
We're almost out of time, believe it or not. It goes so quickly. But real quickly, how do you consume news, like as a high school senior? What is your news sources? What are your news sources?
Well, my grandpa and I, every day on the way to school, we listen to NPR, we listen to CNN, all of that stuff on the radio. But I also like to watch the news on my own, and I do a lot of, like I said before, with my research processes, I love to watch documentaries, and I love to watch, online videos from, The Guardian or from Vice, that type of content. I like to watch that. And then I also do a lot of research of looking into, government policies on government websites and that type of thing. It comes with being a part of MUN. It kind of becomes a part of daily life. So that's what I do.
Anna Maria, what about you? How do you consume news?
Yeah, so I think with definitely cell phones and everyday technology, it's very easy to have that information accessible. For me specifically, I like to watch the news and have updates on my phone from whatever news outlet app, whether it be Reuters or the Apple News. But I, just like Carson said, I definitely do independent research, and I actually really do like the Vice documentaries. That's something I'm super interested in. So those are just some of my main news sources.
How much of an outlier are you two compared to most of your high school students in terms of, being up on the issues of the day?
In very few words, very much outliers,
okay.
I feel like.
Well, we're pretty much out of time, so very few words is fine. Betty, any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
No, I just would like to mention again that this debate is free and open to the public, and we hope to see you at the Florida Southwestern College on Airport Road in Punta Gorda. It's from 2 to 5 this Saturday, February 29th. Thank you.
All right. Betty Barriga is chair of the Immigration Justice Committee at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Port Charlotte. Betty, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Anna Maria Belovich is a senior at Port Charlotte High School. Anna Maria, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
And Carson McNamara is also a senior at Port Charlotte High. Carson, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, wgcu.org/GCL, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Kinnairy. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.